bless you. Good job, brother. Appreciate you. Merry Christmas, Calvary. Now, how many of you wanted to say Merry Christmas, you filthy animal? About half of you wanted to do that, I'm sure. So good to see you back in the Lord's house today. And like I said, it's so good to have my own kids home with me. And so good to see you. While many of us are festive, my hearts are with you that are not. And I promise you, I'm praying for you. I have been. I will continue. We've got one yet still in the hospital this Christmas, and that is Sister Ola Royal. So you remember Miss Ola. She's at Wilkes Regional dealing with a bout of pancreatitis. So you remember her. If you've got a copy of God's Word, go with me to the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. And I mentioned my kids. I overlooked my dad. And Dad's good to have you and Miss Carolyn here. Your name's called out quite often around here in prayer. And it's good to have y'all here. So the snowbirds are getting ready to fly south. They're getting ready to go down to Florida for the cold winter months. They'll be spending it down somewhere in Florida. So you pray for them for safe travel as well. But I love you, Dad. I love each and every one of you. This morning, before we get started in this, I want you to think about why we're here. Why are we in this building today? Why did we just sing those songs? What's that cross over there that Brother Lewis referenced? What's that thing over there for? What's this nativity here for? What's that communion table up there for? Why am I standing here, and what is my title, and what am I here for? I just asked for a Christmas gift and love gift for those deacons. What is a deacon? Why are they there? Who are they serving? What are they doing? All these questions bear one common answer. And that answer is Jesus. We put up Christmas trees because the first word in Christmas is Christ. It's all about Jesus. This church exists because of Jesus. That cross is standing there because of Jesus. Those songs we sang were edifying unto Jesus. I'm standing here because of the salvation on April the 16th of 1981 by a man named Jesus, who then counted me faithful in April and May the 16th of 2002, put me into the gospel ministry to preach the name Jesus. So the common theme today would have to be that name Jesus. And I want you to think about that as I try to bring the message today. There's just something about that name. Now we sing that song, we have sang it, somebody sings it around here. There's just something about that name. So I don't care what planet you're on, the pronunciation of the name, if you're in Spanish and you were to say Jesus, or whether you're wherever you're at, in whatever language, there is a common name, and that is the name of Jesus. He transcends all time. He transcends all generations. He transcends nationalities and genders and ethnicities. He's Jesus. And no matter where you go, that common name, Jesus, people know who you're talking about. You know, wars were started because of Jesus. You know, wars were won because of Jesus. Kingdoms have risen because of Jesus. Kingdoms have fallen because of Jesus. Kings were exalted to high places because of Jesus. Kings were removed from their place because of Jesus. So I want you to think about that. There's just something about that name. Much thought goes into the naming of our children. And most recently, our church has, we've got another baby. And Brother Reggie and Miss Kathy are grandparents. And there's no doubt much thought went into naming that little baby that would be born into the family, the Golds family. And they determined that Dawson Lee would be the name. And much like your grandbabies. And right now, I brought Anthony in here and kind of introduced him as a new master's graduate. But if Jessica were to stick around the corner, Jessica, stand up just a minute, baby. Come here. I'm not putting you on the spot, but come here. Let me put you on the spot. She looks like a rope with a knot tied in it. You say, well, what are they going to name that baby? They've already named that baby. You're looking at Jessica, who is beholden with Benjamin. And there's Gracie and there's Colton. What a beautiful family. But much thought goes into the naming of a child. Noble and honorable names like Alexander the Great, you know, noble names like Abraham, noble names like Stanton or Big names like Jonathan. These are noble and bold names that are masculine. And the women's names like Caroline. It's an old name. It's an honorable name, though, like Elizabeth. We've got an Elizabeth here today. Or Caroline. These are honorable and noble names. And I guess little did Johnny Cash know, whenever he used to sing a song, that he'd ever end up to a Baptist message in Wilkes County. Y'all know where I'm thinking about, don't you? Johnny Cash sang a song. Go ahead, Jody. You're probably back there singing it in your mind right now. What do you name that? Hey, Johnny Cash sang a song about a boy named Sue. Y'all know that song? If you don't, he named the boy Sue because he knew that he wasn't going to be a part of that boy's life. And he said, I want that boy to grow up tough. I want him to be able to defend himself. So he named that poor boy Sue. Ain't no doubt you grew up with Sue on your... If you're playing football in Wilkes County, I don't care if you're playing for the Blackhawks or the Eagle, if you've got Sue on your back, somebody going to hurt you. Number 24, Sue on the carry. You're getting hurt. But there's something about the name of Jesus. Even the devils tremble at the name Jesus. You say, well, take that Jesus back to the Old Testament. What would that be? It would be Emmanuel, God with us. I'll read several scriptures here today as the Lord will allow us. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. Sometimes I get going faster, my mouth going faster than my brain works, or my brain's working faster than my mouth works. We don't get it all covered, but I would invite you to stand and to give reverence to the reading of God's Word. We are in the book of second chapter of Philippians. You say, what a strange place to take the Christmas message. No, it's not strange at all when you get in here. Brother Will Hartley taught our Sunday school class this morning. He showed us Jesus in our 37th, 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel about one king. He is the one king. He is the only king. The Lord of lords and the King of kings is what he is, and his name is Jesus. So as I try to preach today, if you're sitting there and thinking about naming your son some name, some strong masculine name like Hunter or Blaze or something, put some thought into it. Mara is the name that we chose for our daughter. You said, well, what does the name Mara mean? It means bitter. Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. That's right out of the book of Ruth. You'll remember whenever Moses was brought to the waters that were called Marah, and they could not drink thereof because the waters were bitter. But both of those stories that had the name Marah, which means bitter, both of them were made sweet, if you'll read on just a little while, because he showed me a tree and he cast in the stick into the water, and those bitter waters of Marah were made sweet because of a tree. Is that not all of us? Are we not sweetened by the tree? Are we not sweetened by the cross of Christ? Were we not everyone bitter in our own selves, in our own nature, and in ourselves? Weren't we that same bitter-spirited person? But because of the cross, because of the tree. Actually, Mara was named after Mark. Just drop the K and add an A, and you've got Mara. You've got Mark, you've got Mara. But no doubt, naming your child and naming a baby is kind of a big deal. No doubt with your daughter, now great with child again, she's probably already running through her mind baby names, and she hasn't already picked one out. If I'm ever blessed with grandchildren, I hope that they will put some thought into the name. Great men like John and Jonathan, these names, they mean something. You ever heard of a president named Snuffy? I've never heard one, but you've got James Adams, and you've got John, you've got Georges, you got George Bush and George Wash, you got Abraham Lincoln, and you got those noble, honorable names. I've never heard a president named Goober or Gomer or Snuff. You just don't. So something about the name, though, of Jesus. Why are y'all laughing? Karen, don't make me come back here. Huh? Snuffy? I don't know where this stuff comes. It's not written down. It's life unscripted. Y'all need to come up here sometime and try this. We'll read our scriptures lest I get in trouble and Karen laugh me off the island. Verse number one, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things, also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen expressly to the next couple of verses, because this is what where we're going with the name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and hath what? Given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Brother Kippy, ask God to bless our scripture reading, if you will, sir. Amen. As you're being seated, I will take you back over to the gospel accounting of some of the scriptures that pertain to the naming of this baby by the name of Jesus. And we would go to the book of Matthew chapter number 1, if you want to flip your finger there and put it in Matthew chapter number 1 for just a moment. But there's many other names that maybe were not so much as the given name. You may call me a pastor. You may call me Mark. You may call me brother. You may call me husband. You may call me daddy. You may call me your father-in-law. You may call me a friend. You may call me many things. You can call me a postmaster. You can call me Robbie. You can call me a brother. You can call me many things. But there's many other attributes that Jesus Christ was referred to within the scriptures that were not his given name. That name that was given by Mary and by Joseph was Jesus. And when we look in here, we'll see that very clearly in a minute. But aren't you glad that he took on some other names and some other attributes, Brother Chris? Aren't you glad that he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus? Aren't you glad that the Bible said that I write unto you that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate? I'm glad we've got an advocate. We've got a mediator. We've got a propitiation. We've got a go-between, a daysman, a day star. We got somebody that we can go to. I'm glad, as the songwriter wrote, we just sang about, I'm glad that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the latter. I'm glad that he is the author and the finisher of my soul. I'm glad that he is all of those things and more. I'm glad that when I'm down in the valley and I get so low, Brother Chris, and I feel like a rattlesnake in a railroad rut, I'm glad, bless God, that we've got the lily of the valley. I'm glad we've got the bright in the morning star. I'm glad we've got a rose of Sharon that still yet blooms bright today. I'm glad that we've got all of these things to mention. And all of those things are in the scripture. He is our good high priest. He is our good shepherd. He is the only potentate and the high potentate, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is the true vine. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way. And then he said, I am the life. And he said, I am the truth. In a world that knows no truth, where everything is just a mixed mottled mess of gray, where there's not any more two genders. Now you got all these various genders. I'm glad that he is still truth. I'm glad he is the absolute truth. And beside him, I let every man be a liar, but he is true. And I'm glad we can still stand on this name, which is called Jesus today. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that he said we have access within the veil, but we must come through the door. And he said, I am the door of the sheepfold. He said, I am the living water. He said, I am the bread of life. On and on and on. We have names and characteristics of God that were given to his son. And I'm thankful for those. But because I am saved today, and because in my weak little way, and I'm not calling me good, but in my own weak little way, I'm trying to be obedient unto him. What did he say I could call him, Brother Chris? That if I would just be obedient unto his, he said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I'm glad that I can call him friend today. Oh, I love the fact that I can call him my Savior, and I'm glad he can be referred to as my Redeemer. But there's other names in the scriptures that we'll get to here shortly, like Counselor, Deliverer. I'm glad we've got strong counsel. If I go before the court of the land, I'd want a good lawyer. I'd want somebody that knew the score. I don't want somebody that doesn't know the law to go on my defense. But bless God, who better to plead your case before the judge of all judges than to take the word himself before God? I'd want to know who was representing me. If I'm going to be accused, and we've got an accuser, if I was going to be accused, I'd want somebody that knew the law better than he does. You said, does the devil know the law? You better believe he knows the word. He used it every time that he tempts somebody. He tempted Jesus 3 times in the wilderness, and what did he do? He used the word. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21. She shall bring forth, speaking of Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Something about that name. You said, what is it about that name? Keep reading beyond the words. That word is all caps in my King James Bible anyway. I hope that it is in yours, because in the interpretation, if your Bible changed it to a lowercase letter, then you lose the meaning of that. That's the same interpretation as it would be in the old Bible, where it capitalizes L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. Capitalizes Lord, meaning the all-sufficient one, the self-sufficient one. He needs nothing else. He doesn't need to be propped up. He's not going to resign. He can't be in peace. He's just God Almighty. He was, he is, he always will be. And there he is before us. He is Jesus, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then the very next few words tell us why he came. Read it for me, Varun. You're underlining it or highlighting it.
He shall save his people from their sins.
Wow. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, how would he do that? By being born into a sin-cursed world of a chaste purity of a virgin, as she was conceived by the Holy Ghost and laid in a manger in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Would that be the finality of it all? Would that be the culmination of all prophecy? Would that be the conclusion of the whole matter? In that whenever the Bible said out of the book of Isaiah chapter number 7 in verse number 14, for unto us a son is given, unto us a child born. Is that the conclusion of the whole matter? I don't think so. You can't have the cradle except you have a cross. Because if you keep him here, are you hearing me, church? If we keep him here, if we keep him in this little bassinet of hay, if we keep him here, then we'll never see him there. And then there's a lot that, if you will, they wear him as an adornment around the neck, especially in Catholicism. I'm not against you wearing a cross or having some kind of jewelry that would be made into a pendant or some kind of a cross or of jewelry or some type of an adornment. But as we look at the cross and we see it in these pictures and paintings, the cross was not pretty, and it's not pretty. But Brother Tam, the crucifix of the Catholics have still got him on that cross. Bless God, he's not on that cross. And if you keep him in the manger or you keep him on a cross, then you lose the purpose that he came for. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. And like I said, the name of Jesus, it transcends all space, time, matter. It goes everywhere beyond any of my small thinking. Whether you're studying, Preston, like you are in a New England state or studying in the deep south, if you get into this philosophy and you get into the theology, you get into the Word of God, one name stands alone. That's the name of Jesus. I don't care where you're studying. Jesus is Jesus. We look kind of a parallel similitude, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. I had you in Matthew chapter 1:21. Matthew 1:21 says, "You shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Luke's gospel tells it this way in verse number 30, "For the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." If we stop right there, we know that he's got a name called Jesus. But Brother Varun, what comes right beyond where it said that you shall call his name Jesus? Preston, what does it say?
He shall be great.
He shall be great. It's in the very next verse. The Bible said he shall be great, and he is great. He was great. He is great. But that verse said you shall call his name Jesus. In verse number 32 said he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, for he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That was your Sunday school lesson, Brother Will. There it is in the New Testament writing as prophesied. Will's been hitting hard the prophecy that's in the Old Testament writings that's brought forth and brought to light in the book in the New Testament church age. Go back to that Old Testament writing into the book of Isaiah. Y'all still with me today?
Amen.
Is there something about that name? When somebody mentions to you, can I talk to you just a minute, Gwen? Brother Gwen's already, his ears heavy and he's listening. They're going to talk to me about that bill coming due. Going to talk to me about that, whatever that is. I said, Gwen, I need to talk to you. And Gwen says, you going to talk to me about my health? They're going to talk to me about the weather? Going to talk to me about my wife? What are they going to talk to me about? But then they said, I just want to talk to you today about Jesus. Man, Varun, there's something about that name that whenever somebody says, you got just a minute, I want to talk to you about something. Yeah, what are you going to talk about? I'm tired of hearing, where's my package? I'm tired of hearing, somebody beat my mailbox up with a ball bat. I'm sick of hearing all this junk. Once in a while, like somebody just come and say, I just want to talk to you a minute. All right, bro, what are you going to talk about? Can I just talk to you about Jesus? My goodness, folks, that make a dried up Baptist shout, because there's something about the name of Christ, Jesus the Christ, Chad, that makes me want to talk about him. I love him today. Isaiah chapter number 7, you said, is this a direct conflict that the Bible said you shall call his name Emmanuel, and then the New Testament said call him Jesus? No, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is Jesus. But he is all God. He is Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter number 7. Verse number 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And if your Bible doesn't say virgin right there, get you another Bible. We went through this just a little while back. And people in the pews of this church had other Bibles that said, behold, a young maiden shall conceive. A young maiden can conceive today, but she can't do it without a man present. A young maiden can conceive, but she can't do it without the egg and the sperm coming together in conception. It can't happen, but bless God, it happened with Jesus. Why? Because she was a virgin. But if your Bible doesn't say virgin right there, you've already got a problem, because you just put a question mark around the very deity of Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Well, that does away with those gender neutral Bibles, doesn't it? You realize now you can go and get a gender neutral Bible where God's not a father, God's not a mother, God just is. Where Jesus is not a son, he's not a brother, he's not a companion, nothing, he just is. It does away with all that, because the Bible said you shall bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel. My goodness, folks, God with us. Turn your Bible one page to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. You say, I got to get back over to Philippians, because that's where you started. We're going there in just a minute. But I want to close with that, because you're going to bow at that name. You're going to need to call on that name. Chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse number 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Look at that. That's a capital W on that. His name shall be called Wonderful. You said, I thought that just means he's wonderful. He is wonderful. He's wonderful in his birth, because it was an immaculate conception. He's wonderful in the prophecies, in that he fulfilled them all. He was wonderful in his life, in that he did not sin. This man called Jesus, he lived a sin-free life. Is that even possible in this day and age? You said it ain't any more possible now than it was back then. It wasn't possible then, except that he was God. The Bible said he was in all points tempted, such as we are, but yet he was without sin. He was immaculate in that. He was perfect in that. He was wonderful in his life. He was wonderful in his death. Preston, he was wonderful. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, at thy will. He said, I'll take you at your word, Lord. I'll go to that cross. And he was perfect. He was wonderful in his death. My goodness, he was wonderful in his ascension as well. Got up out of the grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave. He was wonderful in his ascension back to heaven. He's going to be wonderful in his return, too. I wonder if you're ready for him. S.M. Lockridge says that little recitation, that's my king. And then he says, I wonder, do you know him? I would ask you that today. Do you know him? The Bible said he shall be called Wonderful. There's a comma there for a pause. He's not just a wonderful counselor. He would be a wonderful counselor, and he is a wonderful counselor. But there's a comma there. The Bible said he shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. Do you ever need counsel? Boy, I need it every day of my life. I need counsel, and I'm glad that I've got a counselor that knows my need. The Bible said that he shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Going back to our scriptures today, there's just something about that name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. If I were then to take you back to the book of Acts in chapter number 4, what are you going to say, preacher, in Acts chapter number 4? I'm going to read you this. Neither is there salvation in verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Are y'all with me? There's no other name given under heaven whereby men, what ought to be, should be, could be, would be. No, that word is must. Be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. That the stone which is set at naught of you builders has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said that every knee should bow. Look what it says. We say shall, but it says should. Why? Because he's not going to force you to. You should bow. You should bow. I should bow. Look what it says. It said that at the name of Jesus, in verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, the glory of God the Father. And I would go so far as to say this, every tongue will confess, but your confession on the other side will be a confession too late. There was a rich man in hell that lifted up his eyes and he cried out, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You know, just too late. Many people are going to wait too late. I'd be remiss if I didn't go to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. You see, chapter number 10, what's that got to do with the Christmas story? It ain't about necessarily the Christmas story as it is as much about that name. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what? The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And listen to verse number 13. Who are we calling upon? For whosoever shall call upon what? The what? The name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. The mention of the name Jesus causes the heavens to rejoice. The Bible said the very firmament declares there's a God in heaven. I would go to, you look there if you want to. We've got a song, Brother Scott. We sing in our choir. And you, if you'd have known I was preaching, you probably would have got it today. How excellent is thy name. Chapter number 8 in the book of Psalms in verse number 1. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set the glory of the heavens. I'm telling you that the heavens rejoice at the name of Jesus in the same that hell repines it. Hell, my friend, if they could just get Jesus in hell to the point they could deliver hell up before God, but they can't be because it's too late. Hell was created for the devil and his angels in the fall, and those that are lost and done now without God will go there. And I bless God, but Brother Tam, they confess Jesus now. The name of Jesus. Like I said, heaven would rejoice and hell would repine at the very name of Jesus. Wars have been waged because of Jesus. Hearts have been convicted because of Jesus. My heart was convicted because of the name of Jesus. Hearts were then converted because of the name of Jesus. Because just what I just read, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hearts can be comforted today because of Jesus. Hearts can be chastised because of Jesus. Lives can be made complete because of Jesus. Families can be put back together because of Jesus. Broken homes can be fixed because of Jesus. Failed marriages can be fixed because of Jesus. A drunk can let go of the bottle because of Jesus. Drug addicts can be convicted because of Jesus. Are you hearing me today? Jesus can make a difference in your lives. He make a difference in my life. I know he did. Saints can be sanctified because of Jesus. Missionaries can be sent because of Jesus. We can meet in here on the side of this road because of Jesus. There's too much for me to preach on this name called Jesus. But aren't you glad for a man called Christ? Aren't you glad for a man called Jesus? Look at some of the other not so noble names as mentioned in the Bible. What will Thomas always be known as? A doubter. The name of Thomas, does it cause nations to tremble? The name of Thomas, does it cause nations to shake? How about the name of Judas? What a name. What is he always going to be synonymous with? Betrayal. Does the name of Judas cause fear in hearts of men today? No. How about the name of Jacob? You remember Jacob and Esau? What was Jacob? What was his name? What would it mean? Huh? You're right. Deceiver. Trickster. Schemer. Does the nations tremble because of the name of Jacob? No, he's a schemer. A heel grabber, a trickster, a deceiver. There's many other names I could give you. Demas. What was Demas? A forsaker. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Does the nations tremble at the name of Demas? Steve, they don't. Do they tremble at the name of Mark or Steve or Danny? They don't. But you mention Jesus anywhere, man, people get up and get upset with you real quick. You start talking about Jesus. You said, well, why would they get upset? Because he said, I did. He said, you say that I come to bring peace. He said, but rather I come to bring division. There's a great divide right now because you start mentioning Jesus in the public places. There's a great divide. Jesus. Veteran cemeteries right now are under attack, trying to take the crosses off of the veteran cemeteries. How foolish is that? Tearing down national monuments because they have some reference to God. Demoralizing people that do love God. Calling good evil and evil good. Is that not what the Bible said would happen? It's because of that name, Brother Grant, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You go out here anywhere and start hollering Bruce. Nobody getting upset because you're yelling Bruce. If I go here and start hollering Grant, won't mean a thing to anybody. Or Snuffy for you, Karen. I can go out here and call any name in the world. I go out, Scott, Gerald, Ken. But if I go out here and start saying, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Do you sing that by chance? You do sing that. Come to the piano. Get him a microphone. This is Life Unscripted, folks. I'm telling you, I don't make this stuff up. I'm going full circle because I'm going back to the book of Philippians. The Bible said that wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Why would God highly exalt this name of Jesus? Because of the very reason that he said that he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then what did Jesus say? Speaking of being highly exalted, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, what did he say? He said, and I, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. You said, does that really mean all men? You said this transcends time and generation and space and distance and everything. It really does mean just that, all men. The Bible says in the book of Titus, for the grace, are you listening to me? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Does the name of Jesus do anything for you? Are you going to give a gift this Christmas? You say, I'm just a child. I don't really give gifts. I'm more of a gift getter than a gift giver. Are you going to get a gift this Christmas? If you get a gift or you give a gift this Christmas, do you know why? It'll be because of Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. This is the Christmas season. But the greatest of all the gifts would be that gift that God gave, when for God so loved the world that he gave. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He talks about stirring up that gift. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about the gift. If I could give anything, I don't have anything up here really that I'm willing to give away. I'm looking for something. Oh, right here's a jeweled crown that fell out of one of the kids' diadem. Out of their brow. If I were to give this, that's probably real. If I were to give this, anybody that wants this thing can have it. Anybody want it? Come up here, Eli. Got his hand up. The only hand in the church that went up. I'm sorry. I saw another hand over here, but come on, Eli. Maybe you can give that to your sister. You might put that on a girl's finger someday and ask her to marry you. You know why he got that gift? Because he was willing to come up and receive it. As we stand all over the house today, I didn't realize that Casey even knew this song, but I'm glad that he does. There's something about that name. I can go out here and start hollering, Wayne! Hey, Wayne! Wayne! You said, who's Wayne? That's my daddy. That's my earthly daddy. Hey, Wayne! He's probably the only one that knows that I'm hollering for him. Rob, you go out and holler, hey, Dad! Ryan, hey, Dad! He's going to respond to us three. Why? Because we are his sons. Hey, Wayne! I've never called you Wayne. I'm doing it now for an illustrative purpose. I've never called you Wayne. Some of you call your daddy by their name. I call him Dad. But if I went out here and start yelling Jesus, somebody, Brother Jody, I'm calling for somebody bigger than him. Not to belittle you, but I'm going above your pay grade now. I'm going above your head now. I'm hollering, hey, Jesus. I need some help. Go ahead, Casey, today. If you need to come, this altar is open today, and I would beg you to come today. If the name of Jesus today has caused you conviction at heart, do something with him.
Jesus, there's just something
about anybody
about that name, Master Savior Jesus, like fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let heaven and earth proclaim. Will all pass away, but there's
something about that name.
About
I promise you,
that name.
If you're saved today, you know that name very, very intimately. You know him as your Savior, your Redeemer, your Counselor, your Friend, your Master, your Lord. Your refuge in a time of trouble. Your high tower of defense. Your buckler. Your strength. You know him as all of those things. But Brother Quinn, we can call him Friend. There's just something about that name. Take it from the turnaround again. Nobody's responded today. And that's fine. I just want you to know that it's all about Jesus today. It's none of me. It's zero Mark and all God. Are you hearing me today? There's just something about that name.
There's just something about.
Just praise him a little bit today if you don't want to do anything. Yeah, just worship him today. Praise his name. He's worthy.
Jesus, 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 like fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Thank you.